you're listening to Our Mission Path. I'm Timothy Downing. As we continue our Sunday series through the old book by D.S. Warner, titled The Church of God, What It Is and What It Is Not, I want to remind you, last week we talked about who organizes the church. This is probably one of the more controversial ideas that is contained in this book. And I say that because it's probably not just controversial outside of our little tribe of Christians who call ourselves the Church of God with headquarters out of Anderson, Indiana. But it's probably pretty controversial within our little tribe of Christians. You see, we all have the tendency to want to organize something in our own image. It's part of the sinful nature that we have. We want to be the ones in charge. After all, did God really say that you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That very first question, the very first sin that entered into mankind's experience was based on this: I want to control. I don't want God to take me to knowledge. I want to be in control of my own destiny. And so when we think about the church, this sin is very evident in how we over-organize the church. The intention of organizing the church never is of sin, but there is that reflection, that echo of sin that goes throughout all man-made organizations. Today we're going to talk about how many churches does God have? Again, D.S. Warner answers with scripture. D.S. Warner writes these words: every description of the divine church shows its oneness. Other sheep, Gentiles, I have, which are not of this fold, the Jews, them also I must bring. And there shall be one fold, the church, and one shepherd, John 10:16. We have seen that Christ is the head of the body of the church, Colossians 1:18. Therefore, as there is but one head, there can be but one body. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Romans 12:4-5. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. But now there are many members, yet but one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 and verse 20. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 2:14-16. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4:4-6. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Colossians 3:15. These scriptures prove positively that there is but one true church, just as there is but one God, one true God. Since we are called of Christ into one body, the call to join various bodies must be the Antichrist. Again, the church sustains the same relation to Christ as a wife does to her husband. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Hosea 2:19-20. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead in the law by the body of Christ, and ye should be married to another, even to him who has raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Romans 7:4. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. John 3:29. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth he shall be called. Isaiah 54:5. The idea of Christ having more than one wife, the church, is repugnant to the Bible and slander to the Son of God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3:15. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Ephesians 2:19. From these and other scriptures, we see that the church is God's family, or household. And since a man can only have one family, it follows that God has but one church. It would be an awful reflection on the holiness of God to have many wives in separate rival families, and they of the nude and lewd character that Bishop Foster ascribes to modern sex. Therefore, the multiplicity of sects, falsely called churches, are not God's church. Friends, D.S. Warner here is painting a picture of unity. Now, for modern ears, it may be hard to hear the unity that D.S. Warner calls for, because he first calls in a very harsh tones to come out of the sects and the divisions of the church. But here he is starting to paint the picture of his vision for the church, not his vision so much, but the vision that he has encountered in the scripture. There is but one church, one body of Christ, one bride of Christ, one family of God. When we start to divide ourselves into separate groups, and then call ourselves just rival factions of the same family, that does not do justice to the unity that our Lord and Savior prayed for at the end of the book of John. He prayed for love and unity among us, Christians, that reflects the unity that God and He has. In other words, there is no room for division in the church. Now, is there room for disagreement in the church? I wholeheartedly say yes, disagree. When you see something different than your brother, it's okay to point it out and to have a discussion. But a division, well, that is not scriptural. And that does not promote the unity that the scripture promotes when speaking of the church. On a personal note, we have many friends who disagree with us theologically, but we are one body in Christ. In other words, we don't divide or split away from people who disagree with us. No, we might have a challenging discussion from time to time, but it's done in a context of love, of unity, and of holiness. It's not done in a way where I have to be right and you have to be wrong, and if that is not the case, then we will simply split from you. No. It's done in a way in which reflects the unity and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us not be divided, brothers and sisters. Our family serves Jesus Christ in Ecuador as missionaries. If you'd like to know more about us, please go to ourmissionpath.com. Thanks for listening, and thank you for joining us along our mission path.